We are going to have a special treat this morning. So ordinarily, this would be the time when we have the message from the Bible. This morning, we actually have three messengers. And so this is part of our series, The Lamb Between, Lessons from the Desert. And so I've invited three members of our congregation to come and share this morning a little bit about their own desert experiences and some of the ways that God has met and taught them there. And so I'm not going to introduce them individually every time someone gets up. I'll introduce them all right now, and then they can just go one after the next. First person up is going to be Andrea Felsman. Andrea leads our prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. She's a prophetically gifted person in our congregation who has, on a regular basis, received revelation and shared that in a way that has been an encouragement to our congregation. So hoping that you will enjoy her this morning. Next after her will be Monica Cousins. Monica is both probably our lead worship leader, as well as an elder here at Redemption. And then sort of batting cleanup is gonna be Martin, who is husband to Josephine and part of a life group, prays on Wednesday nights and such. And so I chose these people partly because I felt like they would have something encouraging to say about their time in the desert, as well as the fact that they all participate on Wednesday nights in the prayer meeting. And so have been a part of some of how this image of the desert and our, you know, the Redemption Church's time in the desert came into focus. So you'll hear more about that this morning. But at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Andrea to be able to share. So Andrea, take it away.
Thank you, Barry. So I'm gonna be sharing sort of a long word that I've received over the last couple of years. So first, I'd like to thank Pastor Barry for the opportunity to share a word concerning the church and journeying through the spiritual desert. I will begin by sharing a word I received over the course of a number of months and then share a bit about what I feel God is wanting us to understand from it. For context though, I need to begin with a word I received in 2017. I had a vision of God hovering over the city of Vancouver. I saw him observing Redemption Church and watching. He was wanted to visit the church in the city, and he was waiting to see if our church would be the one of them. He had not decided if it would be us, as this would depend upon how we would respond to him. There was a chance that he would pass us by and plan his outpouring on another congregation if we were not able to respond to him wholeheartedly. His eye is on Redemption is a phrase I heard. Within a few months, the phrase, his eye is on Redemption, would be shared within the congregation by two other people without their knowledge of my word nor each other's. In the fall of 2019, I had a number of visions concerning my spiritual journey. I was in the desert sitting in a large open pit, which was about 20 feet deep. The pit had a wide mouth and it leveled out to the desert floor. To my left, about 200 feet away, I saw a narrow pass between two mountains. Beyond this pass, the land opened up into an enormous valley encircled by mountains. The throne of God was at the far end, and from his throne came a river of golden water. I sensed that this water was the water of life. It flowed across the valley and traveled very close to the narrow mountain pass. A month later, I had a picture of me leaving the desert pit, and I walked toward the mountain pass. Around the corner was the river of gold flowing down from the throne of God. The glorious presence of God was so overwhelmingly powerful. Despite being free from the pit, I was apprehensive of the valley and the outpouring of the glory of God, but I would not enter. The next scene was of me walking out of the pit hand in hand with God. He had come to deliver me out of the pit, but we were not going to the valley. Instead, we were walking deeper into the desert, where there was no end in sight. I sensed that because I had not entered into the valley and missed this opportunity, I was to go around the mountain. He was not angry or disappointed in me, but I knew that this was where we needed to go in order to learn lessons that would prepare me to enter into this glorious valley without fear or hesitation. At this moment, I felt an awareness that Redemption 2 had missed out on the prophecy from 2017. I then felt like God showed me that my rerouted journey through the desert and around the mountain would be a prophetic symbol of what our church would experience. It would be a natural but incorrect interpretation to feel that we had failed and remained stuck in this mindset. He was not angry, but I sensed a sadness at the loss of us both experiencing his blessing. A more accurate perception is that we would have an opportunity to learn and repent. I feel a confidence that when we come around again to the valley with the river of gold, we will choose to enter in. The purpose of this journey through the desert and around the mountain is to become of one mind with God, his spirit, and his will. It is to be delivered from our weaknesses and to develop an unyielding posture to his plans and his purposes for his church, this church. The desert would also clear the dross away, like it says in Proverbs 25:4. It would refine us like precious metal. I then sensed God speak these words: "Do not be faint of heart or lose heart, for I am the author of these plans. Do not think more highly of yourselves, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment." This past January, I was praying through the word and asked God to send us help. I saw a picture of Redemption Church in the desert. I saw a medical cross sign in my mind's eye and tried to pray, "Lord, bring us to the hospital." Somehow I knew it was the wrong prayer. I then prayed that an ambulance would pick us up and bring us to a hospital. That was also the wrong prayer. Then I prayed that the ambulance would come out to us. This prayer flowed and the vision continued. Our location was not in the small town where the hospital was situated, but miles away in the desert. It was then that I remembered that me and Redemption, were out in the desert with God to go around the mountain. Then I saw that an ambulance was driving up to meet us. When it arrived, the personnel provided us, some of us, with sunscreen for our sunburns, bottled water for dehydration, food for our physical weakness and hunger, or rest for our weary constitution. We were not discouraged. We knew to keep pressing forward. We also needed the encouragement to not attempt this journey on our own strength or in our own way, as it says in Proverbs 3:5. However, there were a few people among us who, with persuasive words, would try to tempt us to listen to their advice and leave the desert. It was very important to our journey and the end goal that we stay with the path set before us and not heed this advice, which would shorten the journey. Rather, we needed to hold on to the assurance that God would deliver us at the right time. The vision stopped, and then I saw a picture of a small space that was cluttered with wooden furniture. I sensed that we needed to let go of this clutter and rid the space of its excess, as the room was no longer functional. This picture was just another indicator of the purging that God wanted to do while in the desert. I felt that if we were faithful in this process, we would be recognized as ones whose hearts have gone through the refiner's fire, which is a reference to Zechariah 13:9. Then I felt God say, "I will surely lift you up as you look up and see me. Being of one mind and heart, look up, for the day is coming that the harvesters will be overrun with harvest. The day is coming when my church will not be big enough, the walls not wide enough in your buildings to contain that which you have prayed for. I hear your prayer for lost souls, for I too long for them to come in and know my Father. Take courage. Do not be faint of heart. As the deer pants and thirsts for water, so I wish for you to long for me, to rest and dwell in my presence, to rest in my glory, and to rest amongst yourselves in your gathered numbers. Take courage, do not be faint of heart." And the words end here. I would encourage us all to consider what God is saying to us individually and as a church body. I would encourage us to ponder, and in doing so, draw close to God. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search a matter out. It may feel natural to feel a bit overwhelmed with what I have shared, but I think through prayer and earnestly seeking him, there are a few questions we need to ask God both individually and corporately. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about there being a season for everything. So what time is it redemption? If we have been called into a specific season for a specific time, what are the activities of those who are walking in the desert with their Creator? Being drawn into a spiritual desert is sacred. Let's not ignore nor diminish its importance. The second question is, why are we here? The desert journey is a long recognized season in the church's history of an intentional time whereby things of the flesh die, the soul is stripped, and we experience the refiner's fire, which purges the dross from within us. Malachi 3:3 states, he will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver. One comes out from this desert journey a little less tied to the things of the world, reoriented to the ways of God, and experience a deeper relationship with Christ. When God states that he has plans to prosper us and give us a hope and a future from Jeremiah 29, he might just first need to rearrange our beliefs, activities, and priorities. The last question I will leave you to ponder with is, what do we do? There are so many Old Testament stories of God turning around hopeless situations. King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites were desperate when the Moabites and Ammonites were approaching. In 2 Chronicles 20, the scriptures record a number of spiritual actions that took place out of utter desperation. King Jehoshaphat sought the Lord and proclaimed a fast. He prayed before the assembly people who gathered to seek God. He made declarations about God's reign, authority, and faithfulness. He proclaimed past times of deliverance. He petitioned God regarding their impending destruction. And he waited for the Spirit of God to come upon a servant to tell them what to do. It finishes with the king bowing with his face to the ground and the people worshiping and praising God. I think we need to ask the Spirit to reveal the truth of our situation and the state of our hearts and respond by calling out in desperation for his mercy and grace to transform us. Two words of caution. As important as it is to ask God what to do, it is equally important to ask God, what do we not do? Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. It would also be wise to avoid asking, how do we get out of here? A natural temptation would be to try and get out of a season marked by discomfort and uncertainty. Having personally passed through two spiritual deserts in the last 26 years, I've come to believe that as divine as it is to be led into this season, it is equally divine to be led out. And I would encourage you to have a look at this word and print it out and read it and ponder. It'll be available on the chat and on the website. Thank you.
So next up is going to be Monica Cousins.
Hi, everyone. Scott and I have attended this church with its different names for 27 years, since 1993. We've experienced many different seasons here, times of thriving, times that felt like the desert, and everything in between. I'm here to testify to God's faithfulness through it all. I know that God has been leading us this whole time to where we are today. This is an important season in the life of our church. Maybe in the life of the global church, but certainly for this little church. As Andrea shared, I think Jesus is inviting us to something more, and we need to pay attention. I first heard Andrea's word about Redemption Church being in the desert back in May at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. I immediately resonated with it. It has been tough slugging at the leadership level for what seems like a long time and on many different fronts. When Pastor Tim left 4 years ago, leaving us with the word about God wanting to do a new thing at Redemption with new wine in new wineskins. We were all so excited and we anticipated the future. But then it took quite a while for us to find the right pastor, which, by the way, was well worth the wait. And we haven't grown in the way that we all would have liked. And we have not yet seen the fulfillment of some of the words that have been spoken over us. We may feel a bit disappointed. Where's the new wine? Where are the miracles? Where are the people lining up to come to church? Not only that, but we've lost elders to sabbaticals, to moves, and we lost Wendy and most recently Steve Colby to Jesus. I don't understand why Jesus called them home. And yet in my 50 plus years of experience with walking with Jesus, his ways are definitely not my ways. And he doesn't usually move on our timetable or quickly. As Pastor Barry mentioned last week, the Israelites would have been totally overwhelmed if God would have taken them on the direct route to the promised land. The Lord needed to do some work in them to get them ready. And I think it's the same for us. If God had poured out the Spirit and done this new thing that he's planning right after Pastor Tim left, would we have been able to steward it? Were we mature enough to handle it? This season in the desert is an invitation and an opportunity for us. As Andrea said, it's not about God being angry or disappointed. Rather, Jesus is inviting us to grow up and go deeper with him, to repent, to be refined and delivered from our weaknesses, to learn from him, and to develop an unyielding posture that will stand up to testing. When Pastor Barry asked me a few weeks ago whether I would share some lessons from the desert, I immediately knew I had to say yes. Because since hearing Andrea's word in May, for the next number of weeks, everything I read in my daily Bible reading, I wasn't searching things out, it was just my regular daily Bible reading, was about Israelites in the desert. You know, when you get a new car, for the next few weeks, you see that car everywhere. Well, it was like that with the desert word. So I want to share with you five lessons that I learned from the Israelites. Most of these insights are taken from Numbers chapters 9 to 11, which I don't have the time to read right now, but I'd encourage you this week to read as you're pondering the word, read chapters 9 to 11 of Numbers. It's very interesting. So here are the five lessons. Number one, stay engaged. The desert is not a place to sit back and wait till it's over. The Lord wanted the Israelites to keep celebrating the feasts, keep engaging, keep living life and worshiping with community. This is get stuck in time. And I want to say a little something about feelings here. The desert can be a place where we don't feel like engaging with God or practicing those things that are good for us because we don't necessarily feel his presence when we do. The word doesn't jump out at us. We don't even understand it. Our worship is dry and flat. Our listening prayer is a cacophony of jumbled thoughts. This happens to all of us. And this is where discipline and maturity come into play. Not because you're going to get any kind of response or good feeling from doing it, but because the Lord tells us to, and we know it's good for us. And if you persevere in these things, it will produce fruit and character in you. So stay engaged. Number two, move only at the Lord's command. Psalm 78, 52 and 53 says, "But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the desert. He guided them safely so they were unafraid." God leads his people in the desert. For the Israelites, it was a cloud by day and a pillar by night. Wouldn't that be nice? As leadership, we are asking the Lord what's next. We are listening. We want to keep in step with the Spirit. We don't want to rush ahead and we don't want to fall behind. We want to move at the Lord's command. Number three, stop complaining. Is life fun in the desert? Not so much. Does it seem hard? Yep. Is this where we want to stay? No. No, 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 no. Please, no. But we don't have to focus on that. God doesn't take kindly to complainers. In fact, numerous times in the Israelites' 40 years of wandering, he punished them when they complained with fire or plagues or enemy attacks. A little side note here, complaining is different from lament. Lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. God has no trouble hearing our lament, but he doesn't want to hear our complaining, which is expressing dissatisfaction or annoyance about our circumstance. Use this dry season to work on gratitude and praise to God for what he has already done for us. Stop complaining. Number four, support your leaders. Think about it. If you're struggling personally with your own desert experience, imagine your pastors who feel the weight and responsibility for all of us. Get on board with them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Come alongside them and offer them your help. Be like Aaron and Hur in Exodus 17, who held up Moses' hands so that the battle could be won. Support your leadership. And number five, God supplies all our needs. He provides for us in the desert. He gave the Israelites manna and meat to eat. There was enough for each day. So take things one day at a time. I love that part of Andrea's picture where God sends the ambulance out to us in the desert to take care of us. God supplies all our needs. So to review, number one, stay engaged. Number two, move only at the Lord's leading. Number three, stop complaining. Number four, support your leaders. And number five, God supplies all our needs. Deuteronomy 32, 10 to 12 says, and I've personalized this, in a desert land, he found you. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded you and cared for you. He guarded you as the apple of his eye. The Lord alone led you. Don't forget that. He is with you and he is for you. We don't have to be afraid. The desert is not a lifeless place, nor is it wasted time. There is blessing in the desert, and the Spirit of the Lord is alive and at work in people's lives, as we all heard about in those beautiful testimonies a few weeks ago. But do I believe there's more for us? Yes. I want the new wine. I want to be part of the new thing that Jesus wants to do through our church. I know that Jesus is not willing that any should perish. And how does he reach the world? He's chosen to use us, his people. God wants to use this season in the desert to grow us up and prepare us, to clean house, both personally and corporately. That's what I've been doing every day since hearing this word. And I'm inviting you to join me. I'm asking God to search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, anything that's petty and blocking me from being my best self for him. I'm repenting. I'm listening attentively as I read the word, and I'm listening to the words that are coming from other people. God typically moves slowly, 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 and then suddenly. I want to be ready for when the suddenly comes. I can't do this alone. We are made to be in community with one another. I need all of you and your gifts and your insight as you listen to the Spirit with me. Please join and let's seek God together and follow him as he leads us through this desert and then to the valley with the abundant blessing and the river of life. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Thanks for listening.
We're going to move over to Martin now, and then I'll close this in prayer.
Thanks so much, Pastor Barry and Redemption Church, for this opportunity to share. When Pastor Barry approached me and he said to just share some points on what I've learned from the seasons, I just sat and I really began to think about, and three things came to mind. three things that the Lord just reminded me. And the first one is a picture. In my desert seasons, there's a picture that one day I think I was praying and God just gave me. And it was a picture of a soldier. And this is a warrior in terms of, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, he has the armor of God. And he's walking in the desert. And it's hot, it's dry, and he wants to give up. He wants to let go of this battle. He's been in this battle for long. He's tired and he just wants to let go. And in that picture, I see him letting go of the sword. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword is a symbol of the word of God. And in my life, I told God, I felt that was like me. It's that soldier who wants to let go. And in desert seasons for me, that's how I felt. I want to let, sometimes my spirit has been like, let Martin, let's just let go. It's not worth it anymore. We're in the desert, it's hot, I'm tired. But I don't know how, but God would remind me, would give me a word that this soldier would take a rope and he would tie the rope, or he would tie the sword to his hand. And he would say, even if I don't want to hold it, I will drag this sword with me. I will not let go of the word of God in my life. And I would pray that to God every day. And I would say, God, even if my body is not, my body, my feelings, everything in me is saying, let go of God. I will not let go of you. If I must drag myself and your word, if I have to tape your word to my heart, I will do it. And I would pray that to God, and that would encourage me to read the word of God. Whether I feel anything, whether I hear anything, I would tell God, today I'm reading your word, I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to move on. And that was an encouragement. The second encouragement word was that Lord would teach me is openness with the Lord in the desert seasons, but also combining it with his word. And the reason why that really felt is, in my desert seasons, one of the things God, I would feel is, I'd feel dry, empty, lonely, and alone. I would be tempted to say, God has left me. But wait a minute. Jesus in Matthew 28:20 said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there's a disconnect. My feelings are saying Jesus has left me. But the word of God is saying, Jesus said a promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference. The word of God trumps our feelings. And once I understood that, I would tell my heart, I would tell my body, I'm sorry, you're not feeling God? That's not true. He's around me every day. And I would also encourage you, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, was led into a desert season by the Holy Spirit. We are not greater than Jesus. If Jesus, after receiving the Holy Spirit, was taken into the desert, so shall we also. But be encouraged, he came out greater. So also we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will come out greater. And the last lesson was, in the desert seasons, we need to deal with our sins. The reason I say that is sometimes desert seasons are brought in our lives also because of sin. Something you did or something I have done, and sometimes God says, no, 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 you need to deal with this. I encourage all of us, sit with God in the desert seasons. Be open with him, but deal with the sin. Whatever that struggle is, let the Holy Spirit prune you. It's not easy. Jesus said, let me tell you, you will be pruned. Whether you're not bearing fruit or not bearing fruit, in that scripture, if you read it very carefully, everybody gets pruned. When the Holy Spirit is cleansing you and pruning you and sanctifying you, he wants to make us better. And I've always been encouraged by this. In my own personal lives, I remember one time God used me and I was felt, wow, God used me. And I remember the Holy Spirit just came and said, Martin, it's not you, it's me working through you. And it was the first time God was using me. And after that, I went through a desert season. And it's like through that desert season, the Holy Spirit always came and remind me, Martin, it's not you, it's me. you need to remember that. That was my disciplining. That was me being told, hey, I will use you, but there's going to be a condition. People need to see me through you. And once I began, and that took me through a desert season, but at the end, I learned it. And it was painful, but I cherished that lesson from that pain. And that's it. Those are the three things I felt God telling me. One, be his warrior in the desert. Tie that sword to your hand. Put the shield of faith on your back. Fasten the armor of righteousness on you. Do whatever you've got. Push through the desert. You have to, because God is with you. He hasn't left you. Romans chapter 5, 3 and 5 talks about suffering producing perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope that doesn't disappoint. The second thing is openness with God in the desert season, but also combining it with his word. And the third one is dealing with sin, deal with all these things. And that's what I have to share. Over to you, Pastor Barry.
All right, thank you, Martin, and Monica and Andrea. I appreciate all the work that you put into sharing an encouraging word with our congregation. And my hope is that we will take time to reflect on the things that were said. I took some notes myself, some of the things that stood out to me this morning, and then I'll pray. One is that we should not rush through the desert. We're always tempted to rush through the desert because it's uncomfortable. We haven't chosen it, and we would like to be out of it, but God has a purpose in the desert, and we need to complete the journey, to not rush. We need to stay engaged. It's not enough to kind of steel ourselves and find some way to survive in the desert. We're supposed to engage with God in the desert, engaging with his word, moving at his command, trusting in his provision. And then these images of a soldier who is kind of at the end, really ready to just give up and to let go of the sword, who decides to wrap something around the hand to keep the sword in his hand, to choose, to will that we will not let go of God, stay open to him and to his word, and to deal with our sins, to acknowledge that for one reason or another, we can get off track or lose sight of the things that matter the most. And when that happens, there's no use beating ourselves up over it, but it would help to get back on the road, to allow God to forgive us, to wash us clean, and to infuse us with his grace. So let's pray, and then we'll turn it back over to the worship team. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you lead us into the desert because you want something good for us. It's hard for us, Lord. We don't like the discomfort. We don't like the hardship. But we pray that you would help us to cling to you and to look for the good in what you're doing, to learn to consider it joy when we encounter these different trials, knowing that the testing of our faith will produce endurance. This is the thing that you desire for us, that we would be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing, both individually and as a church. And so help us to press in to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.